So yes, I get this wonderful privilege yet again to be able to share of the goodness of God, and I love where we are this morning, being able to sing those songs, being able to worship our Lord and Saviour, being able to rest trusting Him in His finished work, in what He has done. I love the gospel, I love the good news of our Lord Jesus. There's nothing more that we need to do. He's done it all. He's paid it all. He's given us of His Spirit. He's given us His Spirit as the deposit, as the guarantee of the hope that we have. And this is good news. This is the good news we are living in today. And so I want to invite us all into this process of thought and meditation to be able to think on the goodness of God this morning, to be able to understand more deeply what He has done for us, and to be able to consider what that can mean for us individually as we continue following Jesus, as we continue seeing His goodness run after us. And I hope that's part of our life experience, that we can see in our rear vision mirrors God's goodness chasing us down. Because I certainly have. I've seen God's goodness following me in the silly things that I do, in the weakness that I am, in the humbled state that we all exist under the sovereign hand of God. I've seen Him following me every single day of my life. And I can trace back, even before I had knowledge and understanding of Christ and His goodness, that God was there in those stories, in those experiences. And so I do hope that you can see that in your life. So we're looking this morning, yes, as Elise has read from 2 Corinthians. She gave us a bit of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 as well from what Jared shared. So I would encourage that you go back to the live stream if you haven't seen that, or you'd like to refresh your mind there about the good news that God has shared through that passage as well. I've got to remember all my little tricks and hints things that I've got going on here, because yes, what Jared did share was the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel, and it is glorious. In that passage in chapter 3, I think it was over like 12 different times the word glory or the word glorious is being used, just preceding this passage in chapter 4. And so we have to understand and appreciate how good the gospel is. That's what the word means, good news. And it's glorious good news. It is so good. It is, as we would say, indescribable in its effect. And so what Jared shared in chapter 3 last week, we're hitting chapter 4, and it starts chapter 4 with, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So I wanted to start with just reminding us, what is this ministry? What is the ministry that we have in our walk following Jesus? What is the service? The word ministry meaning service. What is this ministry that we have? And again, going back to chapter 3, it is the New Testament. It's the New Covenant. It's what Jesus Christ has done for us. It is the sacrifice that He made on our behalf. It is the fulfillment of all that was set before throughout the Old Testament. It is the fulfillment of all the goodness and the promise of God in our Lord Jesus. That's what this ministry is. This ministry, it also says, it's the ministry of righteousness, of people being made right with God, of being able to be transformed and renewed and then go about living a right life before God. It also says in chapter 3 that the ministry is the ministry of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is working in and through us. It is not of ourselves, but it is God who is working in and through us. That is the ministry. It's the ministry of liberty, of freedom. It is the ministry of unveiling. It was heavily talking about the veil was removed. And it is the ministry of, as it is, transformation, because we are being changed from glory to glory. So there is lots of ministry that is happening, the service of our Lord Jesus Christ in our life. That is this ministry. Seeing we have this ministry. Again, that's a possession. It's something that you have, something that you're involved in, something that you're doing day in, day out. And as we have received mercy, as we have received the goodness of God, as we have understood it and been transformed, there's this little tagline there, we faint not. And so by the end of today's message is, we all want you to capture this. There is our part, there is God's part. There is what we are experiencing, and there is what God is doing. And a big part of what we experience is we faint not. We don't give up. This key word here is being able to persevere through our experience with Christ. And so again, just an encouragement, accept the word. As you read the scriptures, you read it, you understand, seek to understand it, don't forget to accept it. Don't forget to let it land in your heart, in your life. Being able to accept the gospel and understanding again that the good news of Jesus Christ, his kingdom, is not of this world. There is the promise of the world to come. Jesus himself said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered unto the Jews." This is talking about him going to the cross. But now, he says, "But now my kingdom is not from here." Just a reminder for each one of us that our kingdom, or the kingdom of God that we have entered into, the kingdom that we are enjoying right here, is a foretaste of what is to come. Don't forget that it's not of this world, but it is foreshadowing what is still to come. So yes, accept the word and don't fight against it. We are tempted to fight against the word of God. We are tempted to say, yes, but. We are tempted to hear the word of God and then try to organize our life around what we're hearing. So I would encourage each one of us not to just hear the word, but accept it and to see it change what we do. Accept it and consider what does that mean for me? Could I please get a glass of water? That'd be awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Michael. So let us check, because again, if we understand, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your heart is where we need to consider. So I need to just have this introduction here to be able to say, hey, check yourself. Are you ready to accept the word of God? Are you ready to let it change the way you think and live and breathe and relate to the people around you? I hope so. Let's be there. Let's enjoy that together. Because the kingdom is not of this world, I know that there I am waiting for the day. The description in this passage that is very familiar, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I can see myself in my own experience that I am made of dust, that I am going to dust. I am going back to the grave as it is the earth. My body is broken. My body needs change. I hope everyone can see, not just mine, but for yourself, that it would be easy for you to say that we are waiting for that incorruptible body. That incorruptible body where the troubles and the trials of this life will be done away with and we will be made completely perfect in glory, in God's glory. So don't forget that there is a process here that we have. In this world, we will face trouble. Jesus said that. There are challenges all around us. We will face trouble. It's not something to become a Christian. It's not... We don't become a Christian and then life is all flowers and roses, right? There is trouble in this world. Don't forget the whole process of denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. How can a young man keep his way pure? We read in the Psalms, but by every word, the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the word is acceptance, being able to accept what God has said and what he has done, that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the encouragement is, we faint not. We faint not. Because of the glorious gospel, we have a way of escape. The end of this passage, it says, we're pressed on all sides. We're perplexed. It's a confusing life. that we live. We are oppressed, we are persecuted, we're knocked down. And this should be, I'm guessing, tell me if you have never been knocked down in your life. Tell me if you've never been confused. Tell me, I'd love to find out about that. But I'm assuming everybody has been in that state of confusion where you are pushed and pressured and the things of this world are a real trial. But we have a way of escape. We have the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious gospel. So, the scripture as it goes through chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians is continually encouraging us. We accept the word of God, we faint not, we have this ministry, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, and so we have the answer that the world needs. We don't need to make up clever tricks or tales to try to convince people. We just say what is true. We demonstrate what is true. We don't, as the song goes, we don't hide the light under a bushel, but we let it shine. Amen. We let it shine. We don't let Satan blow it out. We let it shine. Encourage yourself with those Sunday school songs. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. All right? Let it shine. Let it shine. Toby Mac, everywhere I go, let shine bright. Light shine bright. Okay, so there, again, we've got some encouragement just in our contemporary Christian world of the songs and the encouragement that we have there. Let the light shine. I love this word, manifestation. Some translations say we speak the word clearly or plainly. We make it the truth known clearly. King James talks about the manifestation of the truth. And I love this translation because it talks more than just words. It talks deeds and actions and our experience, the reality of the physical, of what's going on around us. It's a manifestation not just in your speech, not just in your word, but also in your deeds. Not just in your deeds, but also in your attitude. Not only in your attitude, but also in your approach. Your approach to life, belief, your faith. And so I'm encouraging us this morning, let's have a clear focus. Let's have a clear focus of what it means when it says we have this ministry. When it says we have this ministry, and that is to make known the good news of Jesus Christ. To see the good news of Jesus Christ lived out, not just in our own lives, but in our community, in the lives of those around us. In my walk, as it was mentioned, my testimony, I went through a much needed transformation. And one of those little journeys that God took me on, this microphone's blowing up, bear with me. A little journey that God took me on was reading a little book by a guy named Francis Schaeffer. Hopefully a few of you might know that guy. He's a guy who, he wrote a little book called True Spirituality. I read that and that transformed my understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament and what matters of the heart were. But he was a guy who was attending church regularly. He was faithful in his assembly and his meetings, etc. But he came a bit disillusioned because he was sort of thinking that, well, is this all there is? Just turn up to church, just do the regular routine of life. And he became disillusioned with the institutionalized ideas or process of Christianity, and then he had his mountain experience where he separated himself, he went out and he spent some time alone, as it were, and refocused on the Bible, the truth of God's word, and the teaching of Christ. So he had his mountain experience, a little bit like the transformations idea here. Myself, I went to a Christian community Bible college called GLOW. And so I had my sort of mountain experience as well, where I had to go through and relearn all the foundations of the word. And I would encourage anybody, if you have this thought where turning up to church is the thing, just the thing to do, I just turn up to church, sing some songs, I go home, I go to work, I do it again, I just do it week in, week out, I pay my tithe. If that's it, I'm just here to challenge you. I'm not saying that's bad, but I'm just encouraging you, there is a greater dynamic to living the kingdom of God in the world and through your life. Be encouraged to explore the heart and the truth of the gospel. Jesus came to seek and to save sinners, and we have this ministry. Jesus came to seek and to save sinners, and he's called us to be ambassadors of Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save sinners, and we have this ministry. Turning up to church Sunday, every week, that's fine. We went down evangelizing, and there was a guy there. I turned up Easter and Christmas, and we challenged him, gave him a Bible, read the red words in the Gideon's Bible. That's the words of Jesus, because you need something in between Easter and Christmas. You need something in between Christmas and Easter. You need something every day. There is a transformation of our everyday life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we, the church, have this ministry. We are the chosen vessel, as it were, as it is, to present the good news to the world around us. Stepping out in faith is the first step in witnessing God's Spirit working in your life. Stepping out in faith, putting an idea before God, praying about it, and then asking God to lead you in it is an active step of faith where you're then able to say and look back and say, oh, I saw God work. Please pray. Please consider the good news, and please consider the ministry. And so El Arbre, which is the fellowship that this guy Francis Schaeffer established, their purpose statement, and I love it because it matches perfectly with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the manifestation of the truth. It's to show forth by demonstration in our life, in our work, in our daily happenings, that God is real, that God exists, he is real, and he is able. I love that. Second Corinthians goes on and talks about the gospel being hidden. And so we're called to this ministry of making it unhidden, making it found. Now, going back to chapter 3, talked about the veil there. It also talks about it here and how Satan is now using the veil. In the Old Testament, the veil was of God. God had the veil over Moses. Well, Moses put the veil over his face as he saw the glory of God walk past him. But now, and the veil was there on the temple. And so when Jesus died, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom. It was removed. God removed that. It was there hiding the glory, because if any person was to see the glory of God, they would die. The glory of God is so good. The pureness, the love of God is so good that a sinner cannot enter. And so the gospel in the Old Testament, so to say, was hidden, but it was hidden by God until Jesus came, and now it is plainly known. The veil has been removed. And so now in the Christian understanding of how what happened post-Jesus in the church age is the veil is no longer being used by God. The veil is now being used, so to say, by Satan to blind the people, to blind people from not understanding the gospel. God used it for a season, for a time. But unfortunately, as it is, Satan's using it now as a blindfold to keep people from accessing. Christ has made it available for any to turn to him. We have to remind ourselves of the gospel. There's not one person in this world who cannot be saved. Anybody who turns in sincerity and truth towards the living God will be and can be saved through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so are we presenting that? Are we presenting that? So the veil is no longer an operation of God, because God has made the way fully accessible, fully possible for anyone to enter in through the new and living way by the blood of Jesus. And so the veil these days is now like a blindfold that is put over the unbelieving mind. We look at the parables that Jesus was saying, that Jesus shared, the parable of the four soils. The word goes out and the devil comes and takes it away. Jesus shared about the wise and the foolish. The foolish hear the word of God, but they don't let it transform their living. They don't go and do what the word says. They don't accept it. They hear it, they don't accept it, and they go away. But seeing we have this ministry of unveiling, of truth-telling, of seeing the manifest glory of God in our own lives, we faint not. We faint not. And that's the message of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's hard. It's difficult. We faint not. It's a challenge. It's not easy. But we faint not. And so we do. We want to, as a fellowship here, and that's why we live stream as well, we want the gospel to go out. We want people to hear and be transformed. We want those who have the veil over their face, blindfolded by Satan, we want that to be removed. So that people, when they hear the word of God, they have by their own free the ability to enter in boldly. Maybe, because at the end of this chapter, you've got those four words about being, It was being pressed, perplexed, confused, pressed, persecuted, knocked down. I've got this little picture here. Now, this was a time in my life, in our life, where there was some real confusion. There was some real perplexed. I was really perplexed. I had no idea what was going on. And I was crying out to God and saying, God, what's going on in this moment? It was a real challenge. It was a relationship challenge that I had. And I was desperate. And I had no idea what was going on. I prayed and I saw, not quite like this, but I saw a vision. And I tried to recreate it as best I could. And this is pretty accurate, but not quite. Because I saw the vision was moving. Those lines that are scratched over the ball there, let's say the ball is earth, the ball represents earth, and those lines were zipping around super fast all over the earth as fast as they could, traveling, trying to cover all the earth, and that was a picture of Satan and his demons. The demons flying around the earth, trying to hide, confuse, perplex what is happening with the gospel, doing his best to hide the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what I saw was, doesn't matter how fast they moved or where they moved, the light still shone through. And the light was outside of the earth, shining through the earth, shining through the shadows that were being cast. And that was just in that moment. It was literally like half a millisecond sort of a vision. And I just went, God's got this. I don't need to worry. I don't need to doubt. There is confusion there. I can't do anything. Just sit and rest and trust and wait. And that is good news. That is good news. There was a time where I was having continuous nightmares, continually every night, week in, week out. These horrifically horrible, tormenting nightmares. In Galatians, I read that the knowledge of Jesus is through revelation. And I had these nightmares and they were still hounding me. I was praying to God constantly, please take them away. I don't want them. Why are you allowing this torment to happen? The confusion was there. The challenge was there. They were scary. They were terrifying even. They were condemning. They were filled with guilt and shame. But then I'd wake up the next morning and I realized God was still with me. And I realized that God was still ordering events. God was still walking alongside me. Then I'd have the nightmare the next night. And wake up and God was still with me. It was still okay. And that was the revelation that God had to unveil for me. That there was no power in those things. There was no strength. The devil didn't have any strength over me. He was there annoying me. He was there confusing me. He was there pressing down on me, challenging me, knocking me down time and time again. But every morning I could wake up and I could say, oh, I'm okay. God is good. It was amazing. God's light shone through those moments. And the time that I actually realized that they had no power over me, because I was worried about them, I was scared about them, I thought that by having these nightmares I wasn't in the will of God. But when I realized that it was just noise from the devil, I didn't have any more. It was gone. God had revealed to me that he was faithful through all this. And then I came to a position where I understood that if there was some enemy in the room of the spiritual sort, they were in the corner trembling in fear. If there was something present, it was in the corner trembling in fear. I don't need to be scared. That's their experience, right? I hope I can get some amens on that one. That's their experience. They know there's a day coming, right? That's not our day. We've got the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. His light is shining through, come what may. He is ordering events perfectly as we travel through this trial of life, through the troubles that he said, through the persecutions, through the confusions, through the pushing down, through the knocking down. God is still ordering all those events for our good. So be encouraged. Recognize that the enemy that's in the corner trembling in fear is not your greatest enemy. The greatest enemy is probably, as it would say, is the deception of the heart. Be careful not to be deceived. Do not let sin have control over you. If you recognize sin, get rid of it as quick as you can, every day. It will be with you. It's part of our trial. That's part of our trouble. That's part of our story in our flesh. And so, here I am. Hopefully, you're joining in with me. We preach Christ. Hopefully, you're recognizing that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that you're able to, in your life, preach him. Trust him. Not yourself. It's not your own wisdom. It's not your own understanding of the Bible. But it genuinely and truly is Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus. We are just his servants. We just do what he says. We listen. We hear the word. We accept it. We obey. The wise and the foolish man. The foolish man didn't obey. The wise man obeyed, having his life built on a rock. Little treasure chests. The kingdom of God is like a treasure chest buried in a field, and the owner, the guy came and he spent all his money, bought the field to get the treasure. Or a merchant goes out, sells all, buys the pearl of great price. The good news of God is worth all of your experience in this world. So, good news. The veil has been removed. Every single person in this room can enter boldly because of what Jesus Christ has done. No one can worry, doesn't need to worry about not being accepted. Through the blood of Jesus, you are accepted. God is welcoming you daily, every moment of your life, into his presence. Just believe. That's all you have to do. Do you believe? Just believe. Our confidence, it's not in me. It's not in my understanding. It's not in my experiences. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in his love and in his goodness. It is the command of God to let light shine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God commanded, let light shine. It's interesting that the bookends of the creation experience is, let there be light, be fruitful and multiply. Let there be light in your heart, in your life, in the church, be fruitful and multiply. Two bookends of Genesis chapter 1. The two commands, at the start and the end of that creation experience. Let there be light. I hope there's light in your life. I hope God's, through whatever experience, God's light is shining through. Be fruitful and multiply. Go and tell other people about Jesus. I love that picture, the commands of God. And because it's a command of God, when God said, let there be light, what was the result? There was light. It just happens. It's his command. He's doing it, not you. And so if God's saying into your life, let there be light, he's going to do it. It's his creative, redemptive force, not yours. His light is going to shine. It's his commandment. Be fruitful and multiply. That's his commandment. It's going to happen. Trust him. It's going to happen. Treasure in earthen vessels. Got a couple of experiences or stories I want to share. Up in Sydney, had a dear mate, dear friend, and he was one of the elders of our church up in Sydney, and he suffered when he was young from polio. So he's got one and a half legs, right? He's got an ill-formed leg because the muscles have deteriorated and that sort of thing, right? That's the story of polio. But he was the most humble man I had ever met, I have ever met, in his experience. Every day, even though he has a wonky leg, he would jump on his posty bike and he would go around from houses to houses delivering mail. That was his job. I was like, well, that's pretty amazing that you're not sitting down and on benefits or whatever. No, he didn't have any benefits. He went and he worked for his living. I was like, wow, that's amazing. A faithful man who loves God, who loves his family, who was able to share the good news in the community, and the light of Christ was shining so brightly through him that I ended up in tears moving down to Tassie because I was no longer able to spend time with him. That's how much he impacted me. He wasn't doing anything what he thought was special. He was just living his life following Jesus. He wasn't doing anything amazing by his standard. He was a man with a weak leg. Like, he couldn't do anything by his own standard. He couldn't play soccer with his kids. He couldn't do this. But boy, he was full of the Spirit and he was full of love. The light of God was shining through his experience. Glow Smithton, I mentioned that I went to a Bible college before. And I just want to encourage you guys here, guys and girls, with the Transformation Group. Because I went through this Bible college for 9 months and it was part of my transformation, as it was. Being able to, I was 10 years estranged from family, 10 years in addiction, and God brought me to a point where I needed to search for him. And this residential 9-month course, I was living in the college, I was studying the word daily, I was praying, getting up early to pray and read the word and understand what was happening. And then there was this little whisper right at the end. When I graduated, there was this little whisper. Everything had finished. We'd gone through the ceremony, as it were, of finishing up, and we're packing our bags and we're getting ready to leave, and I heard this little whisper. It says, you are now on your own. You're now on your own. And I caught that because I, even in that short, early Christian walk that I was on, I recognized that that wasn't God speaking, that was the devil. You're now on your own. So I want to encourage everybody here that you go through such a program as Transformations, and one day you'll go, all right, I think I'm finished. And the devil might try to trick you to think you're on your own. Don't let the devil trick you. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we've got anxiety. Standing up here before, I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to forget everything that I planned. Right? Before I stood up, I was like, oh, hands were shaking, whatever. We are weak people, yes, but you are never alone. You are never alone. So as you walk through the experience that you guys have got before you, and this is for everybody, remember that God's light shines in the darkness. Nothing can snuff that out. Nothing can remove that. Yes, GLOW, the training college, was my training ground, so to say. I was in the Word continuously. As iron sharpens iron, you get better in your understanding of the Word of God and the ministry. And then you leave, and then you've got this thought. Don't let it overtake you. You are never, ever alone. Yes, when you finish, you'll be pressed. Yes, when you finish, you'll be perplexed. You'll have moments of confusion. Yes, there'll be people who come along and ridicule you and persecute you. Yes, you might even be struck down for whatever reason. But God has given us a way out, an escape. Because yes, we get pressed, but we're not crushed. Yes, we're perplexed, but never in despair. Yes, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Yes, we're struck down, but not destroyed. God is good. Come and talk to me if you would like more. My understanding, my experience there with both of those stories, the treasure we have in earthen vessels. And so, as it is, let's remember. The takeaway message that I have for you for 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first 12 verses, we faint not. We have this ministry, we faint not, so that the truth of Christ is manifest daily in our life. Every moment that we have, may God's truth be shown forth. Let the light shine. It's interesting these days, and I don't know, I can't explain it. The treasure that God has given, I don't deserve it. The all-surpassing power from God, I don't get it, but I've got it. It's weird. Now, it's not every time and every prayer, but generally, when I pray, things happen. This is not, it's not a boast to say you pray and prayer gets answered. It's not a boast. It's an amazement. I'm amazed when I pray and there's an answer of prayer. I am so amazed. It's still a mystery to me every single day. When you pray and God sends someone or some turn of events, some coincidences that you say that had to have been God, it's not a boast. It's an amazement. The only answer is God's love. The only answer that I can use to explain why these things happen is God's love. But I still then ask, well, why me? Why am I experiencing this? Why do I have the veil removed? Why not that person or these people? Why me? And I came to understand true humility is accepting the trouble around you, accepting the trial, accepting the persecution that comes so that His love is shown. True humility, we will face trial, we will face trouble, but God's life and light will shine through. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Perseverance together, may you take this home. Perseverance in God's kingdom is knowing that I can't do it, but when I trust God to do the work, He will, despite my ever-present weakness. despite my ever-present anxiety or worry or doubt or fear. Despite that, God is still going to work. He's still going to chase after us with his goodness. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your life. Lord, we thank you so much that you look on us in mercy. Lord Jesus, do not pass us by. While you are helping the people around us, do not pass us by. While you are interceding and helping and saving others, do not forget, Lord Jesus, to intercede and to help us. Lord Jesus, you are good. We trust you, we love you, and we wish for your light to shine in and through our lives. For your glory and for the day that is coming where we get to see you face to face. Amen.